Today's reading comes from Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. This is the English Standard Version. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned in Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away your falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Awesome! Thank you so much, Michael. Appreciate that, man. We are in our series that we are calling Ephesians. And we are, Ephesians is a book in the Bible. In my Bible, it literally is 3 pages long. So it's a very short little section. And we're spending about 8 or 9 weeks over it. And we could probably spend about 2 years on it, quite honestly. And today is another example of that. We're not going to be able to dig into what you just heard as much as I'd like, quite honestly. But we're going to do our best, okay? If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them up. Maybe we'd bring the lights up just a touch more so that some folks that have their Bibles, you can definitely check those out right now. That'd be awesome. And that's where we're going to kind of be camped out. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 32. I'm about to share something that is the most disgusting thing I could probably share with you. And so I'm just preparing you for that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you now and I pray that you would open up our hearts to receiving your word, not only into our ears, but into our hearts. God, I pray for myself that you would help me now, God, to simply share what you've put on my heart and what your word has kind of done in me this past week. And now let me just share that, God, in such a way that we would hear from you, that we would hear what you want to have said, not a word more, not a word less than that. And so we pray that in the powerful name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, show up and do your work now in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I had a mole removed. Okay. Now, hold on. Yeah, well, hold on now, Mr. Lyle back there. Just hold on a second. That's okay. You can go there. But I had a mole removed. Okay, from the back of my head, let's just get really clear about this. You know, where's the mole? That's the first question. Where was the mole? I had a mole removed because it has been kind of bothering me for like 20 years. It was on the back of my head, and I cut my own hair. And so I'd always be like getting on this thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just nasty. And I can see from your faces, this might be the wrong thing to be talking about. Well, now don't move to the next slide, Lyle. They cut the mole off, okay? This is nasty. And the first thing I asked the doctor when she, this is me in the doctor's office, very nervous about having my mole removed. The first thing I asked the lady when she cut the mole off is, can I see it? Can I see the mole? That's what I wanted to. I asked her, can I see the mole? Now, I'm about to show you the mole. So, if you don't want to see a mole, this morning. This is so great. I have so much joy in my heart right now. I am so happy. If you don't want to see the mole, just shut your eyes, because like I kind of filtered it with Jackie this morning. I was like, my wife, I was like, should I show the mole? And she's like, no, do not show the mole. And I kind of was like, all right, can I show the mole? And she's like, no, don't show the mole. And I was like, how about if I just tell people to not look that don't want to look? And she's like, whatever, Seth. So this isn't really through my preaching filter like it should be. But I'm going to show you the mole. If you want to see the mole, you can see the mole. It's in a cup. I do not have the cup anymore, okay? Thank the Lord. But, okay, it's not that bad. But if you want to shut your eyes, shut your eyes. Here's my mole. Ah! This is disgusting. I don't even know. Don't even look. If you're not looking, keep your eyes shut. That's a little mole. That's not that bad. Well, it's a big cup. That's a bowl. That's a salad bowl right there. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you go ahead, Lyle. Get it out of there. That's a mole, okay? I had a life before the mole, right, with the mole, and now I have a life without the mole. That's the only reason I'm sharing that with you. And now I have no mole in that, okay? That's it. And now I can cut my hair without clipping this thing, and it's just a good, good thing. New life. New life is what we're talking about today. That's it, okay? New life. And especially I want to take us to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. To put off your old self, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old self, get rid of the mole, and put on the new self. Listen, God wants to do something new in your life. That's kind of my take-home point today. I'd go tweet this baby out. God wants to do something new in you. Every single person in this room, God wants to do something new in your life. Now, I'm not going to just become clever here, and I'm not trying to just become like God wants to do something kind of new. No, I'm going to explain. I'm going to share how God wants to do something new in every single person's life in this room this morning. I'm not going to spell out details, because I'm not going to be able to understand exactly what that all means, but this is where we're going. God wanting to do something new in you today, this week, this month. Casting off the old, looking to the new. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. If you open up to it, you'll see this, okay? Then God says, let us make man in our own image. Okay? Let us make man in our image. This is at the creation. All right? This is the creation story. And God actually says, I'm going to make man in my image. What does that mean? What does that look like? To be made in the image of God. For God to create mankind and say, this is so good. They're perfect. Exactly the way I want them to look. Brand spanking new. Brand spanking new. And then what happens? What happens? Quickly, that's all you got to do is read a little bit of the Bible, and you just kind of turn the next page and read a couple more pages, and what happens? What happens? Sin comes into the world. Right? Brokenness. Adam and Eve rebel against God and say, no, we're going to kind of do something a little different over here. And so they rebel against God, and quickly, like instantaneously, this dark shadow of old comes over the earth. Broken. Used. abused. This creation all of a sudden goes from brand spanking new to feeling kind of, to smelling a little bit kind of musty. You know the new car smell? You know what I'm saying? It had that when God first created the world. Now, I don't actually know what the new car smells like, but some of you know what that smells like. Smells good, doesn't it? Shaking. I've never smelled that smell. But yeah, it doesn't last very long. Amen, brother. Amen. So this new car smell, and all of a sudden sin comes into the world, and it doesn't smell like that anymore. And it's got a kind of a musty smell. And it's damp, and it's rusty, and it's broken. And all of a sudden, creation is old. And there's an oldness to it. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, most people, I think, would admit that this world, there is something fundamentally wrong. Something is amiss. Most people would say this. Something's not right. You turn the news on, and no matter what your worldview might look like or what it kind of might be, and you might not even be a Christian, okay, and we're a come-as-you-are kind of church, and that, okay, we're so glad you're here. But at least give me, there's something wrong. Something's not right. It's broken. It's old. It's not new anymore. It's been used. It's been abused. And all of a sudden, because we love new stuff, don't we? Just in general. Don't we love new stuff? Like, have you ever just bought something? You know, you go through Walmart and they didn't have what you had, so you just like bought, you know, something in the checkout because you're just like, I just want something. I just need the Lifesavers, man. You know? So you just bought something. You just got to buy something. We love new stuff. And it's amazing how in this broken world where everybody kind of recognizes something is fundamentally wrong, we start to look to new stuff to try to kind of get our new back. We want to get new back. And this is going to, you need to do a little work with me this morning, because I'm going to take us into some things that sound very different, but I'm going to kind of push into them all being the same in the sense of attempting to find something new. This could be something like trying to find the new idea, the new kind of knowledge as it kind of seemingly advances in our world, and now we're a little years ago. And we start to lean into this, like, of course, you know, with technology advancing and the new, maybe there's an iPhone 12 that saves us. You see what I'm saying? Maybe there's something that will come along that's brand new that will help take us out of the old. And we look for this in different places. Knowledge, reason might be a spot where we look for it. We might look for it, you know, I was thinking of a couple things here. I was thinking we might look for it in just us trying to be better. So I'm going to achieve newness by just kind of working towards being a better person. Or maybe this, maybe we lean into humanity. And maybe, you know, oh, hey, North Korea is looking maybe okay here. I keep bringing this up every week. I don't know why that keeps making it in. But, you know, hey, maybe humanity's getting better. Maybe if we just kind of lean into humanity and maybe this will all kind of work out. But see, newness can take on different kind of looks to it. You might even say, now this is where it's going to sound really like of a far leap, but just follow me. It might even be something like, I'm going to look for a different woman. Now, this would be called like adultery, right? So I'm going to find something new over here. And in that newness, maybe I can kind of be brought out of my old state. And so we start to look for other things. Now, I recognize that the difference there in our minds is one where we're like, well, reason's not that bad. Adultery's terrible. I get that. But we look at some of these things, these new things. It might even be divorce. There's something about divorce that brings a newness to it. Maybe if I lean into this, the old might just kind of drop away. See, we do things, we look to things that might suppress the old. Hold it at bay. What are things we can do that will actually keep off the old? There's a theme. There is a theme in Ephesians that I have not yet shared with you. And if you've been reading through Ephesians like I've been challenging you to do, just read through it a bunch, maybe you've picked up on it. But there is a really key theme that's through Ephesians that I wanted to kind of highlight for you today. And if you go read back and reread some of this, I'd encourage you to look for it. And you can find it in our particular text today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. This is what it says. Look, did you see this? This really stood out to me. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him, which that's actually kind of funny because ultimately it's Paul that had spent a lot of time teaching these guys. So he's kind of a little bit digging there. Assuming that you have heard about him, you were listening, right? For the past 3 years that I've been there with you. As the truth is in Jesus. As the truth is in Jesus. In Christ. In Jesus. Is a really central theme to the book of Ephesians. And it starts right in chapter 1. We don't have it on the screen, but Ephesians chapter 1. Just listen. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Follow me here. Blessed be the God and Father, this is verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. In him, before the foundation of the world. In him, in the beloved. In him, we have redemption. In Christ, which he set forth. In Christ, in him, we've obtained an inheritance. In Christ, we might be to the praise of his glory. In Christ, in him, in Jesus, in Christ, in him. All over the place, you're going to see this in Ephesians. Well, what is in him? And our text really brings out all of a sudden, truth is in him. Truth. And we don't have time to really unpack that the way I really want to unpack that. But in Christ is all this stuff. And in Christ, we can actually find, and here's what I'm going to break down for you this morning. I'm going to break down for you two words that I've yet to bring up here at this church. But I'm going to teach it today just really quickly. The two words are justification, okay? This is a word that kind of is kind of like this word that kind of sounds big and like, oh, what is it? I'm going to talk about that. And then I'm going to talk about this other word called sanctification. Justification, sanctification. And those two words make it so that everybody can have something God doing new in our life. What is justification? What is in Christ? What does this look like to be in Christ? Justification, yes, it's forgiveness, right? It's Jesus coming to live the perfect life for me and for you. Dying on the cross so that those who might recognize, not even those who might recognize, he dies to pay the price for all sin. To justify, to make right us and God, all right? And so justification is simply this kind of like being reborn. Rebirth, renewal, new life, brand new life. Jesus coming to die for you and for me, bringing us salvation, bringing us forgiveness, rising from the dead, conquering death itself. You know, in a couple days, I got a funeral. There's no hope at a funeral unless Jesus rose from the dead. See what I'm saying? This is what justification is. And in Christ, look at this from Galatians. I have this on the screen. Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as have been baptized with Christ, you've actually put on Christ. Is Okay? This is where our baptisms and what God has said about us, what God has done for us, it justifies us. It makes us right with God again. It makes it so that we can be a son or a daughter of Him. This is for all of us. Now, many of us in the room are justified. We've been given rebirth and we've been forgiven for a lot of people in this room. Maybe some of you haven't experienced that. And if that's not you today and you have not experienced it, I don't know what that looks like. That is for you even now today. To turn to Jesus, the one who has saved you from your brokenness, from your oldness, to make you brand spanking new. That's justification. But that's not just it. There's this other word, the S word. Okay? The sanctification word. Because I don't know about you, but I have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me because of what Jesus has promised me. Okay? And so I'm a child of His. But then I look at my life and I'm like, wait a second. I still make mistakes. Right? Just this past week, it was really interesting because I was at a pastor's retreat with some of these other pastors. And one of the rules on the retreat was we could not talk about church. We couldn't talk about our churches at all. And so it was just all about us as people, as just guys who, other stuff in life, as you know, there might be other stuff. And if you got a bunch of pastors around who are justified before the Lord, then of course the conversation's going to be about what? It's going to be all about all the great stuff that's going on. It's going to be all about the positives. It's going to be all about how we're just all perfect, right? Yeah, not even close. It was unbelievable where the conversations went. To marriages that are seeking counseling. To dads who feel like they're doing just a kind of a cruddy job. And need help. To brothers and friends that just haven't been doing their part. Broken. Used. Old sounding. See, we can quickly go back to the old. It's so easy to go back to some of those other things, isn't it? Too easy. Way too easy. And living in this world, I want you to follow this, living in this world, this will constantly be a struggle for you. You need to know that. This is something that I don't feel like sometimes people understand. That you can be fully justified before the Lord in a relationship with Him where He looks at you and He sees through the blood of Jesus. And through that blood, He sees His son, His daughter, perfect child. And still in this world struggle with sin. This is going to be until you die or Jesus returns, folks. But this is where that sanctification word is so important. Because what sanctification is, I want you to look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to what it says. So we do not lose heart, though our old self, or the old man, you might even say in the Greek here, the old self or the old man is wasting away. But our inner self is being renewed. It's being made new. When? Day by day. Day by day by day being renewed. What does that mean? What does that look like for us? What does that look like for us to be daily being stepping into the newness that God has gifted us with? Daily stepping into the newness of what He's doing. Daily repenting of our sin and saying, I got to put that to death again. and I'm turning and fixing my eyes on Jesus, the one who's daily doing this work in me, leading me to a place where he's actually, and I'm going to use this phrase, he's actually recreating me in his image. You see that? Man, that's big time. Stepping into our new life. This is those last verses of Ephesians. Okay? And I'm going to just quickly go through a little bit of it. Listen to this. What does he say? He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth. So we put away falsehood, and now I'm going to speak truth. Well, your old self's going to want to go back to maybe hiding it, or maybe saying this is going to be helpful for me. No, I'm going to start speaking the truth. Say, some of this is just so practical. People that say the Bible's not practical just annoy me. See? How can you not get more practical with this? With his neighbors, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Your old self is going to want to keep the fight going for days. The new self steps in. You step into it and you say, no, we're going to deal with this. We're going to take care of it. I'm going to make the phone call to the friend that I can't stand, that is annoying the heck out of me, and my old self just wants to continue to be annoyed at them. You might be justified before the Lord, but the Lord is working sanctification in your life, calling you to step into this new reality of, we're going to deal with this tonight. Solve the problem. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. This is a struggle. I want to say this, but the Spirit of God leads me to say this. See? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I think I skipped a verse there, but that's okay. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. What the heck does clamor mean? That sounds like the Christmas story. I don't know. I heard a clamor. But put that out of you. If you got clamor in you, get rid of clamor. And slander. Be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven you. I don't want to forgive him. Yeah, but God is doing something new in me. See, that's why if you're not a believer this morning and you want to be made new, you want to be made new, that can happen. I want to talk to you. I want to connect with you. Other people want to connect with you, pray with you, lead you in what that looks like. But if you're a believer today and you've been justified before the Lord for the past 80 years, I'm here to tell you, God wants to do something new in you today. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to continue to work some stuff out of you because you're still, still holding on to anger 2 days later and 3 days later and 4 days later. You see that? Those are the things that need to be worked out of us. And God is doing it. And when does that get completed? When does that get completed? Let me show you. Last verse. I'm going to wrap this up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Check this out. Beloved, we are God's children now. We are God's children now. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. I'm struggling with some stuff. I still have struggled with this thing called sin. Yep, you're going to. But you have the Spirit of God who goes with you to help you with that. Daily renewing you. Yeah, but when does it get completed? Watch. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. I don't know what that looks like exactly. I don't know what that means. But I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. recreating us in his image. A new humanity. You've heard me say that before. That he's working even now today. Brand new. He's working new towards you. Let me pray for you this morning. Oh God, this is a message that is difficult for us. It's difficult to understand how we could be both forgiven, saint, child of yours, but then do so often the things we don't want to do, and so often not do the things that we know we should do. We struggle with this, oh God, in this world. Still feels so old. So often we turn back to that old stuff. God, help us this morning to repent of that. To simply acknowledge where we're holding on to some things that are not of your image, that are not of you. And help us to put those things down. Oh God, please give us the strength to put the stuff down. Where there's anger in this room, God, help us to put it down. Sanctify us, oh God. God, where there is clamor, where there is malice, where there is deceit, where there are lies, where there are egging on, where there are unlimited stuff we deal with, where there's that stuff in this room, because we're loaded in this room with it. We're loaded with it. Jesus, right now we put it down and we surrender it to you. We are sorry. We are sorry, God. And God, for that person or those people in this room who maybe don't know of you yet and don't know what you've done for them, God, as they look at their life and see nothing but old, or it doesn't even seem like there's any opportunity for new, God, I pray that they would lay it all down and receive the newness that comes in you this morning. Please work that in their hearts, oh God. Jesus, we are so thankful for you. We thank you for the forgiveness that's ours because of what you have done for us. We thank you for the renewing that you do in us each and every day. And Jesus, we can't wait. We can't wait to see you face to face. When we then look like you for all of eternity. Thank you, God, for that promise. Keep working that in us, oh God. Keep our eyes fixed on you always, oh God. We love you, oh God. We love you, Jesus. Amen. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may he strengthen you. May he be with you this next week in every aspect of your life as he continues to work in you towards a place where you are justified before him. And if that's already you, that he would continue to work in a sanctifying way in you, keeping your eyes fixed on him until he returns. Or he takes you to be with him. Go with peace this next week. Amen.